T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the 880 Weekly Rewind, a look at the top stories of the week, digging into important issues in our community with Linda Lopez.
Well, the economy had its worst quarter ever, shrinking at about 33% from April through June when businesses were shut down. And now roughly 30 million Americans are currently collecting unemployment. Also, there's a ton of uncertainty surrounding the long-term impact of the coronavirus pandemic, especially what impact it'll have on the labor market as technology and new work-from-home habits disrupt industries. So has the pandemic given us an opportunity to think about this differently, especially when it comes to jobs for those in underserved communities? I spoke with Melinda Mack. She's the executive director of the New York Association of Training and Employment Professionals. She's also a member of the State Workforce Strategy Group, which will present recommendations to Governor Cuomo by the end of the summer. Are there new ways we should be thinking about employment for Americans?
I mean, absolutely. And I think coupled with that, we're also sort of struggling with a really inadequate response from Washington. I think just a day or so ago now, the Senate Republicans issued the HEALS Act, which is their response around how they should be stimulating the economy with the next round of resources. And as you probably know, the debate has been around subsidizing individuals who are unable to access unemployment insurance or providing an additional support through the $600 a week pandemic unemployment assistance. That's where the debate is right now. It is super important that that money continues. But in addition to that, we also have to look at who's being unemployed, right? I think the data is showing us that disproportionately low-wage workers, so workers who are working in retail, hospitality, individuals who are on the front lines, in essential work that was very underpaid, these are folks who need additional skills or new skills to be able to get back to work. So I think in addition to the work we're doing in D.C., some of the work of the recovery group is to say, how do we actually make a complementary investment in people's skills during this downturn? So when they go back to work, they're going back to better jobs and better paying jobs.
I know that you work in workforce development, and you believe, you've said, that the economic recovery will be incomplete unless we tackle the systemic issues in our labor system. What are the issues we need to be focused on?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to sort of some of the earlier comments I just made, right? Like the fact that we have such a disproportionate number of people who are working in low-wage jobs, low-wage work, the fact that we really have made it very difficult for people to upgrade their skills and get better skills so that they can get better jobs is something we've got to tackle. So if we look across New York State, and just think about New York City, about 45% of the people who live in New York City have a high school diploma or less. Which means if you're trying to get into tech or get into a better job, you've got to be able to have the resources at your disposal to be able to get into job training. And if you're like me, you know, I'm 38 years old, I've got 3 little kids at home. That's not a super easy leap to go from working in a restaurant into a tech career. And typically it's done through a non-traditional pathway. So there's a ton of incredible programs and nonprofit organizations and CUNY who can provide these services, but they're not resourced the same way that the larger, K-12 or college system typically is. So again, I think we're sort of thinking about this as, you know, the human capital you have in your community is the third pillar in some ways to economic development, but it's not funded at the same level or with the same sort of discipline as you would see, sort of say, you know, building Hudson Yards.
So focusing on getting workers job skills that can get them good paying and sustainable jobs, is this possible in any big way for underserved communities or lower income communities?
Absolutely. And it should be the target, right? I think ultimately we do better when everyone in the economy has the opportunity to access a better job. And so if we're just focusing on the lower third earners in New York State, think about the economic mobility and economic sustainability we'd have across the communities, again, in New York City or across New York State, if we raised wages by $10,000 or $15,000 per household. You know, just looking again at the Bronx, like the household income in the Bronx tends to be around $38,000 a year. That's the household income. If we raise that by $10,000 or $20,000, you get much closer to the median income, which means people can afford groceries, people can afford vacations, people can afford to put their kids through college and through school. And so, again, I think part of this is around thinking about economic stability and recognizing that without skilled people, without giving people the chance for skills, their ability to get out of poverty is incredibly limited.
I think it's important to look at the big picture of what that would look like. I know that you've also looked at recommendations for things like childcare for these kind of workers and other systemic things that sort of feed into making this happen.
Yeah, so we had a recovery work group meeting earlier this week, and you know, one of the big issues we're tackling is around this concept of supportive services. So again, recognizing if I, again, as a 38-year-old mom with three little kids, I would need someone to be able to watch my children while I'm in school or trying to get a good or better job. People need food. Your basic needs have to be met in order for you to be able to get ahead. And I think for us, we're sort of recognizing the interconnection between transportation, housing, criminal justice reform. Again, if you think about all of these different programs, a lot of them end with the concept of someone being employed. And so if we're not working together across the system to sort of braid and interlace these benefits to support people as they get back to work and get into good jobs, then we're actually missing the point. I think what we look at systemically across the country, I mean, we're asking Congress for $15 billion. That's about $10 billion more than what came out during the American Recovery Act during 2008-09. But statewide, it actually means making a massive investment. The governor's office invested $175 million a couple of years ago. That's just a drop in the bucket in terms of what we need to be able to do this effectively.
Now that New York State is in the middle of this pandemic, the whole country is in the middle of the pandemic, but now that the state is looking at this in terms of what can be done for these, you know, supplemental services, for investing in job skills training, and all the things actually that, you know, many advocates have talked about for a long time, has the fact that the pandemic has hit made this more possible or more likely to happen on a statewide level for us now?
I mean, I'm banking on it, right? And part of it is because I do think the COVID-19 has, in some ways, put a spotlight on the crisis that was happening underneath the surface that many of us weren't seeing or experiencing, right? This is not new for low-wage workers or for people of color. But what it is showing is that the disproportionate impact that COVID-19 has had at this massive scale means it absolutely should not be something we ignore. And so I'm hoping that we have this moment in time where we can actually restructure the labor market across New York State so that we're the state known for creating good jobs, right? We're the state known for making sure that individuals are skilled and talented and able to reach their potential, and ultimately that businesses can come to New York State and find really qualified workers. So I'm hoping that this is a moment of realization, of reflection, but more importantly, of action.
If there is someone who is actually looking to invest in their skills or looking for these services, specific job, but wraparound, what can they do?
Yeah, so if you're based in New York City, I mean, you can certainly contact the City of New York's New York City Workforce Centers. There's career centers across New York City that are there and able to help. But also look through your network of community-based organizations. No matter where you live, especially in the City of New York, there's a community-based organization in your borough that not only has a really high-quality training program, but also can help assess and support your other needs that you may have in order to be able to get a better job.
That's Melinda Mack. She's the head of New York State's Workforce Association and a member of the advisory board presenting recommendations on economic recovery to Governor Cuomo this summer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.